Today's daf is Erechin daf Lamed Dalet, and we are at the Mishnah, the last Mishnah on daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Sara Alisa. So the last Mishnah discussed halachos of Bate Hachatzerim, Bate Arichoyma, Stei Achuza, as they relate to a Levi, some more halachos related to the Ari Alevim. Says the Mishnah, Ein Oisin Sade Migrash V'loi Migrash Sade. So the Pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, when it discusses the halachos of Batei Halevim, says that they had to be built to certain specifications. The Pasuk says, U'migrashei ha'orim ashetitnu la'levim mikir ha'ir v'chutza elef amasavim. So the Pasuk says that you have to have a Migrash, which basically means landscaping, 1,000 amos saviv the arei halavir. And then the pasuk says, "Umadoisa michutz loir is pas kedma alpayim ba'ama." The is pas negav alpayim ba'ama, which suggests that there has to be landscaping of more than 1,000 amos. There has to be landscaping of 2,000 amos. And the way Chazal reconcile this at first glance apparent contradiction is that there had to be 2,000 amos, but it was made up of 1,000 amos and 1,000 amos. So the first 1,000 amos surrounding the city was left empty. The second 1,000 amos, meaning the outer 1,000 amos, was more of a field where they would plant things. Says the Mishnah that it had to be done dafka that way. So you're not allowed to take the part of the landscaping, which is sada, and converted into migrash. V'loy migrash sada. Additionally, v'loy migrash here. V'loy yir migrash, the part of the city that's supposed to be a migrash, you can't start inhabiting it. You can't turn it into a city. You can't build condominiums there. V'loy yir migrash. Am Rabbi Laza, have met bar mamur bari alavim. This is all true for the ari alavim. Abba bari yisrael, as a place ari yisrael, oisin sada migrash. You can convert the sada into a migrash. Migrash sada. Migrash ir. However, v'loy yir migrash. The only one of these halachas that relate to Yisrael as well, is that you're not allowed to take the ear and turn it into a migrash, and the reason is, shelo yachrivu es arei Yisrael. There's an inyan of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There are many halachas, in fact, there are many tremendous chidushim lahalacha that Chazal said one is allowed to do mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or is not allowed to do mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So we say that even when it comes to the Ore Yisrael, this one halacha of not converting an ear into a migrash is going to be true. And again, the reason is, it's Ore Yisrael. So we've seen this already, that even though this halacha is of when you can redeem a stei achuza, bati arichayma, bati achatzerim, this is all true when it comes to a Yisrael. But the Kehanim and the Leviim, them meichrin la'olam, the goyalim la'olam shenemar gu'ulas oylam tia l'levim. Incidentally, goyalim la'olam is self-explanatory. It means that they're not constricted by the first year for bat yari chayma, or they don't have to wait 2 years when it comes to a stei achuza. What does moichron la'olam mean? So Rashi brings two pshatim. The first pshat Rashi says that maybe moichron la'olam means afilu b'shnas hayoy v'latzma. But then Rashi says that's really totally in the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel in the beginning of the perek, ayin sham. Either way, zokta gemara, am rabba laza, b'med varim amur, bari alavim, abir bari yisrael la'isim v'chulu, t'kuli alma miha, says the gemara. One thing is clear from the Mishnah, b'dil avim, lo'y mishaninam, that there's a halacha, that the Ari Alevim had to look a very, very specific way. City surrounded by a migrash, 1,000 amas, which is surrounded by a sada, which is 1,000 amas as well. Says the gemara, minani mili, how do you know that this is so important? Am rabba laza, am akra, the pasuk says, ustay migrash areyem loy macher ki achuzas oylam yilohem. Now, at first glance, the pasuk seems to be saying that the Leviim are not allowed to sell their fields. Says the Gemara, my loy macher klal doesn't mean that literally, that they're not allowed to sell. But midrashiv, the pasuk says geulas oylam tiel aleviim. The pasuk goes out of its way to say that even though Yisrael has all these restrictions when it comes to after he sells something, when he can redeem it, when he can redeem it, but the Levi is different. Geulas oylam tiel aleviim michlal demazavni. You see, clearly they could sell what they want. They could sell their houses. They could sell their fields. So when the pasuk says, "Ustay migrash oreim lo yimacher," it can't mean lo yimacher. What then does it mean? Elamai lo yimacher lo yishane. What it means is not lo yimacher, but they can't change it. So when you sell something, you're changing title, you're changing ownership from one person to another. In that sense, lo yimacher means lo yishane, but the point is not lo yimacher. You can't sell it to somebody else. You can sell it to somebody else. What it means is lo yishane, the halacha of the Mishnah, enois and sada migrash, v'loy migrash sada, v'loy migrash ir, v'loy ir migrash, says the Gemara, ki hanem alaviyam moichrim liyoylam, v'goylam loyolam. So the last halacha of the Mishnah was that even though all the halachas of redemption, etc., are are mentioned in the Torah in great detail. They only relate to a Yisrael. They don't relate to the Kehanim and the Levim. Tanu Rabbanon, Gula Soilom, Tiel HaLevim. The Pasuk says that the Levi can redeem forever. Geulas oylam tiel alavi. Matam of loyim alvishin. I'm a mispashnei tvoisim achelach. Being that it says in the pasuk that when somebody sells a steyachuza and he wants to redeem it, he can. However, he has to wait 2 years. Yochel avzekin. I would think that a lady that sells a steyachuza has the same halacha that he has to wait 2 years. Talmud loymar geulas oylam tiel alavi. No, he can redeem forever. He doesn't have to wait 2 years. Additionally, vishin. It says vayasal the b'seis vayoyvel kodesh l'Hashem. If a Yid is makdish a stei hachuza, and then yovel comes. So what's the halacha? It goes to the kehanim. Yachalav zeke. I would think that if a Levi is makdish a stei hachuza, and then yovel comes, or if somebody redeemed it before yovel comes, and then yovel comes, you would think the halacha goes to the kehanim. Talmud loy mar geulas oylam tiel alavim. The Orei HaLevim do not go to the Kehanim when Yovel comes. Additionally, the Fishanem of Kamabayis Asha Ba'ir, Asha Loya Choymot, Litzmisos. If somebody sells Bati Ari Choymot, so for 1 year, he's allowed to redeem it without the halachis of Geroy and Kesem. Ribbis, right? The sugis that we just learned. Stating that, what happens after a year? The buyer keeps it Litzmisos. He keeps it forever. Even Yovel doesn't unwind that transaction. Yochel Avsekein, I would think that the halach is true for a Levi as well, that after the first year, he can't redeem it anymore. Talmud, Loimar Geula. In other words, Geula Soilam Tiel Alevim teaches me that the halachas of Stei Achuza don't relate to a Levi, the halachas of Makdish Stei Achuza don't relate to a Levi, and the halachas of Bat Yari Chaima don't relate to a Levi either. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Hani Tarti Lachi. I understand the first two halachas. I understand why Chazal in the Braisa had to explain and extrapolate from Geula Soilam Tiel Alevim that the halachas of Moichas Stei Achuza and the halachas of Makdish Stei Achuza don't relate to a Levi. A Levi has a Stei Achuza. He can sell it, he can be makdish it. Okay, so now we have to know. Do you have the halachos of 2 years, I can't redeem it? Do I have the halachos of makdish stei achuza that by yovel goes to the kehanim? Gula soilum tiyul alavim teaches me. Not that way. Elabat yori chayim alavim miyislu. But the third halacha, why do I need a braisa to tell me that from the pasuk of gula soilum tiyul alavim, I know that if a levi would sell a house in a near chayma, the halacha is that you wouldn't have the halacha of litzmisos. What's the kasha? It's physically not possible for a Levi to own a house in a near chayma. Or at the very least, it's not possible for him to have bote ori chayma. He could buy a house, technically. But the halacha is of gula sayilam tiyel alavim, as we saw earlier, relate to the ori alavim. So if they relate to the ori alavim, faith the Gemara, is it possible to have ori alavim in a walled city dating back to the times of Yeshua? We know what time we're learning to the price. Arma lalu, late with regards to the Ari Alevim, like Kfarim Ketanim, like Krachim Gedolim. So those cities couldn't be small villages. They also couldn't be large cities. Elo Ayoris Beinoinios. And the Krachim, Hamukofis, Chayim, Mezuzhum, by definition, were large cities. So if that's the case, they couldn't be Ari Alevim anyway. Says the Gemara, Rav Kandis, like Kasha, Kancha, Hukka, Ovid, Lusay, Yosha, Kancha, Yosha, Lusay, Vukka. This price that says, Arma Lolo, Enoisim, like Kfarim Ketanim, like Krachim Gedolim, Elo Ayoris Beinoinios, that was referring to initially when the Levim got there. Cities, so they had to make sure they weren't crossing the dialogue. But what happens if later it developed a wall or they built the wall? It doesn't develop a wall. But what happens if later they built the wall? So at that point, Luchura, it would still be considered Mukafas Chaima, assuming it happened in the times of Yeshua Benon. So it would be possible for it to be a Mukafas Chaima, Mois Yeshua Benon, and that's where it's Negeya. To tell me, Gula Soilam Tiel Alevim, that Talach is about the Yari Chaima, don't relate to Levim. But the Gemara says, V'chei Gavne Michaima, would that be considered a Chaima? Time we learn to the Brayso. Ishki Macher, Beis Mois Yavir Chaima, Shehukav, Lubasoiv Yashav, Veloisha Yashav, Lubasoiv Hukav. Brisa teaches me that the only time a city is considered walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun is if it was first hukaf and afterwards it was Yashav. If the wall was there before it was settled. But if it was settled and then it was walled, it's not considered a wall at all. Yachal, I would think afiliki for Yisrael. I would think that this is true. Even if a Yid was one who built the wall, Namakan Chaimav and Namalalam Chaim. Ma'alahalon Ovde Kechavim, Afkan, Ovde Kechavim. It's only if the Ovde Kechavim built the wall, even before it was Yashav, that it's considered a wall. So another halacha defining the wall of Yer Chaim. Number one, it has to be hukav al-Basav Yasha. Number two, it needs to be a wall that was built by Yer Kechav. Yachal afilo hikifu Yer Kechav la'acham ikein. Nemar lahalan chayma v'nemar kan chayma. Ma lahalan Yer Kechav koydum l'chein. Afkan Yer Kechav koydum l'chein. What does that mean? That means that it had to be a city that was walled, that was built by Yer Kechav, by these Gentile builders, and it would have had to have been built before the Yidden even entered Eretz Yisrael. The point is, not every city that has a wall dating back to the times of Yeshua ben Nun is considered walled. There's a lot of fine print that you have to read, a lot of boxes that need to be checked off in order for it to be considered halachically mukeves chayim ha'is Yeshua ben Nun. It had to be hukav al b'sayv yashav. It had to be built by Yavti Kechavin. Even that, it had to be built before the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael. Bottom line is, you can't tell me that enochanami the katchila we never gave the Levi a city that had a wall, because we only gave them ayaris beinoniyos. But what would be if they built the wall later? If they built the wall later, it wouldn't be bati erchem anyways. So anyways, wouldn't be negated these halachas. Again, the kasha is that the price that tells me that from the pasuk gulas until alavi, we learned three halachas. We learned that the halachas of meiches teachuza don't relate to a levi, the halachas of makdish teachuza don't relate to a levi, and the halachas of meicher bati erichayma don't relate to a levi either. The question is, why do I need a halacha, a brisa, a drasha to tell me that the laws of meicher bati erichayma don't relate to a Levi? It's physically not possible for a Levi to sell Bati Ari Chaima in the context of Ari Halavir, because an Ir Chaima by definition is a large city, and there's a halacha that Ein Oysen Oysen, referring to the Ari Halavir, that's the Oysen, that's the pronoun, Ela Yoris Beinoinius. That's the Gemara's Kasha, says the Gemara Tigmar of Yosef, Reid, Rav Salah Chassidi, Gemara Papa, Gigoin Shenaflu Lahen Hein Umigrishay. What happened was, when the land was divided initially, it was all done Alpi Geirah. So what happens if the Geirah just so happened to land, or this particular large city, that's Mukafes Chaima, Miyais Bishum and Lun, landed in the Rishus of the Levi. So the halacha is that they would have to take down the wall. They would have to convert now this large city and turn it into Ayaris Beinoinius, because it's halacha that the Ari Alevim had to be Ayaris Beinoinius. But the point is, being that initially the Goyro fell in their Rishos, so it could be that it would be considered Mekavas Chayma. Meaning, you're right that there's a halacha that they can't live in the city in that state. And from that standpoint, they're going to have to tear down the wall. That's something that they're going to have to do. But at the same time, up until they do that, it's still Mukafas Chayim Ma'isa Shubanon. So maybe that's where it's going to be Negeya. But the Gemara says, Heinu Migrishay on the Misterinu Kaimi. I mean, aren't they supposed to knock it down? So to the extent that they're supposed to knock it down, so how do we have a right to ever look at it as Mukafas Chayma? In other words, maybe up until they tear it down, maybe at least for that short period of time, we should look at it as Bati Ari Chayma, Kamash Malon. That's where it was negated, this halacha. The halacha of Gula Seilam Tiel Alevim, that had the Levi sold it during that interim period where it fell into the Rishus of the Levi. The halacha is they would have to tear down the wall. They didn't do it yet. If they sold it, would you have this halacha of 1 year afterwards? Let's miss it. The answer is no. Geula soilam tiyal alavim. Zokti gemara tana rabbana. The pasuk says, "V'haya hasada b'tzeisoy bayoyvul kodesh l'Hashem kistei hacherem lakoyen tiyachuzasoy." So it's hard to out cup of which pasuk is referring to which halacha, but this is referring to the halacha is of makdish tiyachuza, where the Torah says if someone's makdish tiyachuza, if Yovel comes, it goes to the Kohen. So usually when Yovel unwinds the transaction, it just resets the original settings. It goes back to the Meicher, to the original owner. But if someone's Makdish Teyachuza, there's a special Chiddush that says, V'hoya hasodah v'tzeisei b'yoivel, l'koyen tiyachuzasa. But the Torah doesn't just say that it should go to the Kohen. The Torah says, k'stei hacherem, l'koyen tiyachuzasa. It should go to the Kohen the same way cherem goes to the Kohen. Obviously, the Pasuk's referring to cherme koyhanim, which is one of the Choftal and Matnas Kuna, as mentioned in the Torah, Parshas Korach. There are two types of cherem. There's cherme hektish, and there's cherme koyhanim. So this field that's going to go now to the Kohen, B'yoivol, goes to the Kohen, says the Torah, K'stei HaCherem. And it sounds like Torah wants something with this. The Torah is saying it's going to go to the Kohen the same way the Cherem, same way there's a concept of Cherem Kohenim, in that same vein, the Makdash Teyachuzah, when Yovel comes, the field is going to go to the Kohen. Says the Gemara, Matal B'loimar, what does the Torah want with this Mashal? K'stei HaCherem, right? So it's like a Mashal and a Nimshal. The Nimshal is that the Stei HaCherem, that this person was Makdash, when Yovel comes, goes to the Kohen. And what's the Mashal? Just like the Stei HaCherem, so to this field. Says the Gemara, Matal B'loimar, says the Gemara as follows, and we had this already. How do you know if a Kohen was in Makdash's own Stei HaCherem? So what does that mean? A Yid was Makdash something. He wanted this particular field that he owns to go to the Kohanim. And he made it Cherme Kohanim. So now the Kohen owns it. The Kohen himself was Makdish it. And now Yovel came. Says the Gemara, Shlo Yoimar, the Kohen shouldn't say, Yovel Yoitzel Kohanim, being that what happens to a Stei Achuzah once Yovel comes, it goes to the Kohanim. Okay, I'm a Kohen, and I have it. Teishali, let me keep it. Vidinu, and this Kohen may make a Kal v'chomer. B'shalachir, man yizoicha, b'shalatzim, like Kolshkin. Madachal b'zoicha in somebody else's field when Yovel comes. Certainly I should be zoicha in my own field, Tamaloy, man. So it's for that reason the Pasuk says, v'hoya asada b'tzeisa b'yovel kodesh l'ashem, k'steyachir, the Torah is makish, steyachuzo, techer, says the Gemara. V'chimalo b'madmum steyachir. Steyachuzo is the nimshol. Cherim is the mashal, right? It sounds like we're trying to learn something, just like the Sneach Cherim, so to this. As the Gemara, really, you learn nothing from Sneach Cherim. It's actually just the opposite. Me'atar is a bala lamed v'nimtzol lamed. Really, Sneach Cherim is the nimshal, and Steyachuza is the mashal. What are we learning? Mas Steyachuza shal Yisrael, Yoytze mitachas yodoy, mischalachas ha-kayan. Just like an ordinary Steyachuza, the halacha is, that it's Yoytze mitachas yodoy, who mischalachas ha-kayan, and once Yoyvel comes, af Steycherma Yoytze mitachas yodoy, who mischalachas ha-lacha ha-kayan. So this is a little bit of a difficult halacha. Ties together a lot of the things that we learned, the halachas of cherim and the halachas of makdash steyachuzo. But the point is this: here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that ordinarily, a kohen, we just learned the Mishnah, hakohanim v'alevim meichrim la'olam v'goyim la'olam, and the Mishnah said on daf chavav amid beis that the same is true with regards to hakdash as well. The Mishnah said hakohanim v'alevim makdishim la'olam v'goyim la'olam bein lifnei ayovo bein la'ach ayovo. So all these halachas of makdash steyachuzo and everything, they don't relate to the kohen. They don't relate to the levi. So if a levi or a kohen would be makdash steyachuzo when yovo comes, it doesn't go to the kohen. We just said that, right? We just saw this halacha clearly. It was one of the three halachas that the Brayis on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis learned out from Gula Soyim Tila Levin, that they don't relate to the Levi. That this halacha, Makdash Steyachuzo, that it's supposed to go, doesn't go back to the Levi. So it doesn't go to the Kohen. If that's the case, you would think that the same would be true, Lechura, if a Kohen now had his Cherem that a Yid gave him, he was Makdash it. So Lechura, why when Yovel comes, should it go? Why when Yovel comes, should it go to the Kohanim, Lechura, HaKohanim V'Alevim, Goyalim Lo'olam. So if the Goyalim Lo'olam, the Moichrim Lo'olam, the Makdishin, they're not restricted by all these halachas. So if they're not restricted by these halachas, why? Terah says this is different. This is different. So it's true. Ordinarily, a Kohen and a Levi that takes his Steyachuzo, as in the Ori Alevim, that's where you have this halacha. But if he got something as Cherim, this was something that was given to him, it was gifted to him, right? That's just the way you give something to a Kohen. You make it Cherim Kohen. So the halacha is that if he got this thing and now he was makdish it, the halacha is it is treated like a Steyachuzo, and just like an ordinary Steyachuzo goes to the Kohenim, this is going to go to the Kohenim as well. And the Gemara just adds to that, that even though you would have thought for sure it shouldn't go to the Kohenim over here, well, as the Chalena Kohen, it's like a Svar al Gabi Svar. Number one, you have the halacha of Gula Soilam Tiel Alavir. Number two, what, you're going to take it for a Kohen, you're going to give it back, why are you taking it from me, a Kohen, and give it to another Kohen? Again, that's all learned from Steyachuzah, because Steyachirim, to teach me not Steyachuzah is like Cherim, but Cherim is like Steyachuzah. And a Yisrael that's Makdash is Steyachuzah, Yoibol comes and goes to the Kohenim. A Kohen who's makdish his steyacherim, Yovel comes, that lochus is going to be taken away from him, even though he's a Kohen, and it's going to be given to other Kohen. Now, what was this kal v'chomer that the Kohen thought would be his schus to be able to keep it? He said, b'shalacherim ani zoicha, b'shalatzmi like holshkin, amamar, b'shalacherim ani zoicha, midami, says the Gemara, I don't agree with the whole kal v'chomer. Hassam over there is zoicha ba'alma, hacha koshakale, meaning, when we know that the Kohen is zoicha in the Steyachuzo that Hekdish has when Yovel comes. But it doesn't go to just any random Kohen. It goes to the Anshei HaMishmar. So really, when the Steyachuzo went to the Rishus of the Kehanim, it went to all the Kehanim Sheva Isa Mishmar. Here, this one Kohen wants to take the whole thing. Meaning, if the halacha would be that when Yovel comes, this Kohen who has the field right now, he's the one that's supposed to get it. Okay, so then he'd make a good Kal v'chomer. I don't understand. When Yovel comes, I'm going to get it anyway. So like, why we, let's just cut out the middle, man. Let me just keep it. But that's not what's going to happen. The halacha is going to go to the Kehan and Shavuos and Mishmar. Now you want to take the whole thing? If a Kohen walked in and said, listen, I'm part of the Mishmar anyways, let me just take everything. No, it goes to all you get. You have a fraction of it. We have to figure out how much is yours. But why, in the world, like, what's even the basis? Just because he's a Kohen and he'll be entitled, let's say, to 5% of it, that's not a svara to now say he should be able to get 100% of it. Rabbi Shalachir man is zoicha midami hasam zoicha ba'alma hacha kashagli amarim ba'chami isruk zog ba'alma I would have thought hayo k'siv ishez kadashav lo yiyu hacha nami ki kadashav nami. The halacha is that if a Kohen brings his own carbon, that he doesn't divide that carbon together with the Anshei Mishmar. He's able to keep everything. So you would have thought that maybe this is the same thing. Maybe this is like a Kohen bringing his own carbon. It's his field. So even though ordinarily it gets divided amongst the Anshei Mishmar, but when it's my carbon, it doesn't. So you would have thought that maybe the halacha should be the same over here. We should look at it as if it's his carbon. That's the chiddush. Says the Gemara, but me dummy, kadoshav la b'shusay, hacha b'shusay. It's not the same either. Because when you bring your own carbon, the fact that you get it is because really every carbon belongs to Hashem. And kayhani b'shulcham gavaya kazachio. So they're getting it from HaKadosh. So Hashem said that you're the one that brought the carbon, I'm going to give it all to you. But over here, there's no Mishulchan Kavaya Kazachu. So who said that it should work that way here as well? Says the Gemara, you're right. Elam Rav Nachman, it's Rech Chiddush, what Sokot HaDechem, I would have thought, Ha'il B'Ksiv, Ki Achuzas Oilam Hu Lahem, Hanami Achuzas Oihi. The Chiddush was something else. The Chiddush is that I would have thought that being that the Halacha is when it comes to Kohen, and they get to keep it forever, meaning they're not bound by all these Halachas like we spoke at earlier, so maybe that should be case here. You're right, the Chiddush is not this Kal V'Chaymer. You're right, even though we spoke out this Kal V'Chaymer, at the end of the day, it's not the Chiddush. You know what the Chiddush is? It's the first thing we said. Gula Soilam Tiel Alviyah. They could be Moichel Loilam, they could be Machdish Loilam. So Mitamol is a halacha that a Kohen who received this Cherme Kohenim and then he was Machdish it. So some of the halachas that goes up by Yoyva, I thought by the Kohenim it never goes to Yoyva. So I would have thought Hanami Achuzasai, Kamash Mulan Achuzasai. Achuzasai in Chermoy Loy. It's true there's Allah, Kehanim HaMoichu Loyim, but it's only Achuzasai. It's only the Ari Alaviyah. This is not Ari Alaviyah. This is something that he received as a gift from Yisrael. I mean that this is something he received as a gift from Yisrael. This is not going to be bound by that halacha. And on that note, Hadron Allah HaMoichu Sodeyu Uslik Allah Mesech HaSeirichim. Just a little bit of raid. So, two hearts. First story is, so yesterday, the Gemara discussed the halacha of Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shaita V'Kitcha L'Asalavi, Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shaita V'Loi Kitcha L'Asalavi. What's the Makar to Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shaita V'Loi Kitcha L'Asalavi? Nechemya, Perikres, Dvarim, Periklamet, both not Mefurish and Makaris at all, but interesting Makaris nonetheless. So what did you see in Nechemya, Perikres? The Pasuk describes that Ezra and the Oilei Bava, they come to Eretz Yisrael, and the situation was not very good. The State of the Union was in a very, very bad place. And Ezra had to be mechazik the year. And one of the things they did was they built sukkahs and they sat in sukkahs. It was an unbelievable festive moment. The Yidden are celebrating sukkahs. And the Pasuk says, Ki lo yasu mimei Yeshua benon. Wow. They said it, so it was something they hadn't done dating back to the time of Yeshua Benon. The Gemara asks the obvious, is that possible? I mean, if the last time they sat in a sukkah was in the times of Yeshua Benon, that would mean David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, the Melochim, the Shoiftim, Chizkiyo. How is it possible that the Yidden went hundreds and hundreds of years without sitting in a sukkah, the most basic elementary halach? The Gemara says, obviously it's not what the Pasuk means. But the Pasuk is somehow equating Ezra to Yeshua Benon. It's the Gemara, just like Yeshua Benon was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. Ezra was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. Ezra had to be Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. I thought it has Kedusha. Oh, Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchel L'Shaita, V'loi Kitchel L'Shaita. Says the Gemara, what about the Ma'anamah that holds Kedusha Rishayna, Kitchel L'Shaita, V'Kitchel L'Shaita? What's this idea of they sat in a sukkah, Ashalei also came, Mimais Yeshua Benon, says the Gemara. You know what sukkah means in that pasuk? It means something else. It means that the Yidden davened, they were Mevatel, the Yitzhara of Avodah Zarah, which protected the Yidden. It was Megan, like a sukkah. Just like a sukkah is Megan from Chama, it protects you from the sun. That's what a sukkah is. It was in that same vein, the tefillah of Ezra and his generation to be Mevatel, the Eitzahara of Avodah Zarah was Megan. It protected the Yidden. Avodah Zarah was the Achilles heel of Klal Yisrael. It was the primary reason that the first Beis HaMikdash was Charev. Just go through all the psukim and nach and you see what a troublemaker Avodah Zarah was and how much it ruined Klal Yisrael. Says the Pasuk that when Ezra came in the beginning of Ayasheni, he realized that we need to do something to make sure that history doesn't repeat itself. We're rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, that's wonderful. But at the same time, we still have that same evil inclination that's leading us in the direction of Avodah Zarah. And if the Yidden are going to be over Avodah Zarah, it's just going to be Chazara. The Mikdash will be destroyed again. So what Ezra did was, he said, Ayasheni is going to be different. And he davened, and he davened, and he davened, and he was misfollowed to Hashem, and his tefillahs were answered. And they were answered, and eventually the Eitzahar of Avodah Zarah was taken away. And that's why the second base, I mean, wasn't destroyed because of Avodah Zarah. It's destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, which is a whole other shmooze. But the point is, Avodah Zarah not, and the reason not is, say Chazal, because the Eitzahar of Avodah Zarah was taken away, and the reason it was taken away is because of Ezra's Tfilos. And that's what it means, Vayasos HaSukkah is. They said a sukkah, yeah, maybe literally two, but the proverbial sukkah, which was the tefillah that was made on Klai Yisrael, just like a sukkah. Actually, also came in Moshe Shul Benun, there was a time on every leader in Klai Yisrael dating back to Yeshua. why not Moshe? Schus of Eretz Yisrael. So that already we spoke about last night. But as it relates to Ezra's tefillah of Bimavatel, the Yetzahar of the Avodah Zarah, this is something that the Gemara talks about in different places. So this is obviously one of the Maror Makomos. Erechin Daf Lamed Beis, very important Maror Makom when it comes to the Yitzra of the Avodah Zarah. But there's a Gemara that tells the rest of the story, the longer version, so to speak. And that's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Samech Dalet Amud Aleph. The pasuk says in Nehemiah Perek Tes, "Vayizaku b'koil gadol el Hashem Elokeim." Says the Gemara, "My Amar, Am Rabbi Yehuda v'Tam Rabbi Yonasan." Bye bye. Hainu da'achri b'lebeisa. So the Yidden come. This is the beginning of Vayisheni. Vayizaku b'koil gadol. There's some tefillah taking place over the Yidden. Are all davening. Vayisheni. Hanochas Even Apina. This is a tremendous event, and everyone starts crying. And they were crying because they realized that they still had the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And if they have the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, who's to say that the Beis HaMikdash isn't going to be destroyed again? Says the Gemara, Hainu Da'achiv Leveso, V'kal Yalei Chola, V'katlinu Letzadiki, V'aglinu Leisrom Me'arai, V'adayinu Merakit Beinon. It says, Kluv Yahavim El Kabul Le'Yagra, and the Yidden turned to Hashem and they said, the reason you gave us the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah is so that we should be able to overcome it and get rewarded for overcoming it. We're not interested. Lo'iyu Be'inon. It's another way of saying, we don't need it. It's not interest, says the Gemara. So the Yidden decide they're going to do something about it. They sat 3 days betainis, bo rachame, and then they davened that Hashem should remove the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, and nafalu piska mirakiya. Miraculously, a piece of paper fell down from Shemayim, daviksiv bo emes. And they opened up the piece of paper, the tzetel, and it said emes. Amrab chanin ishmam, you know what you see from here? Chaysamoy shalachodesh baruchu is emes. How do you see that? Because the point of this paper was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was signing, so to speak, that I agree. It was Hashem's consent on what had taken place. I agree. This is not good. Chaysamish al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara. Nafek Gur Yidinur Beis Kachi HaKadosh. So the Yidden witnessed that a lion that was made of fire that was shaped like a lion emerged from the Kodesh HaKadosh. I'm the Navi Yisrael. So the Navi Zechariah was there. And he turns to the Yid and he said, Hainu Yitzra Davai Dazar. That's the Yitzra of Davai Dazar. We have to go chop him. Badi Kotafsilu. So they go ahead and they catch him. Ishtamet Binisa Mine. One here went away. The Azal Kole Ba'arba Meya Parsi. And when the lion lost its ear, it gave a shriek, and you were able to hear it. Arba Meya Parsi. 400. Amru, they said, Hey Chinavid. They said, what should we do? Dilma Mishamayim Rachmi Aleh. This is not good. Because in Shemayim, they're going to have Rachmanos on this lion. They're going to hear it screaming and yelling. So maybe Ma'ir Racham Eshamayim, and this lion is going to be saved. We need to capture this lion. This is the Yetzahara, the Avodah Zarah. Amalu Navi, so the Navi said, Shadyu Beduda Davara, take the lion and put it in a big vat that's made of lead. Fikasyu Bavara, it's soundproof. The Shayef Kole, you won't be able to hear it. And like this, you'll be able to get away from it. Oh, the Gemara says, so what's the postscript to the story? Hoyo Ve'es Rotzen, Huniboy Rachman Yitzhar Davara. He said, let's do the same thing for the Yetzahara Marayas. No Avodah Zarah, no Arayas. Right, then it's going to be good, says the Gemara. Bo Rachmi, Imsa B'Yadayah. But then the Gemara says the chickens weren't laying eggs. And they realized that without the Yetzirah of Arayas, it's impossible for the world to turn. And the Gemara says they undid it, stating that it remained with regards to certain Arayas. But regardless, as relates to the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, this is the story of how they caught the Yetzirah of Arayas. It's Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. It's Yidua that the Vilna Gaon said that when were they mevatel the Yetzirah, the Avodah Zarah? They were mevatel in the beginning of Vayisheni. There was another very important thing that took place in our history in the beginning of Vayisheni, and that's when they were Batel HaNeviim. The last Neviim in Klal Yisrael were Chagi, Zechariah, and Malachi. They're Seif HaNeviim. Malachi, we know, is Ezra. Chagi said Nevu about Vayisheni. So Chagi, Zechariah is the Navi. Amalu Zechariah Lo Yisrael. He's the Navi in this story right here when they were mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Chagi, Zechariah, Malachi, the last three Neviim in Klal Yisrael, and they lived in the beginning of Vayisheni. And the Goyim said it's not a coincidence that Seif HaNeviim happened at the same time that they were about the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. He said, because it was Zelu Mazeh. The Yidden needed Nevuah to counteract the very powerful Koyach HaTomo of Avodah Zarah. So he says, as long as there was Avodah Zarah in the world, the Yidden had to have. As long as there was Avodah Zarah in the world, the Yidden had to have Nevuah. But once there was no Avodah Zarah in the world anyways, it wasn't necessary to have Nevuah. So as long as there was the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, but not Havin Neviim. But you know what happened? As soon as they were Mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, so Zechariah was Mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. Ezra, who's Malachi, was Mevatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. We didn't need Zechariah and Ezra anymore on that level. We didn't need the Nevuah. And if we didn't need the nevuah, we have to make sure there's an equilibrium. We have to make sure there's nekudas abechir, like Rav Dessler talks about in the beginning of Michtam Elio. Right? Everything, it always has to be a balance. So if you have on the one hand this tremendous koyach atuma, there has to be a tremendous koyach atusha. So the Vilna Gaon said that it's not a coincidence. That it's not a coincidence. Because the two things happen simultaneously. As soon as they move out the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, at that point, the Gaon incidentally is an aspirish in Seder Olam. That's where he said it. So at that point, you didn't have to have any more the Nevuah. But it always bothered me. So Chazal say that Chag Yizchai Malachi with the Seif HaNevi'im. So after that, there's no Nevuah anymore. Right? Which means that today, 2,000 or so years later, there's no Nevuah. Why is there no Nevuah? Because Chag Yizchai Malachi with the last of Nevi'im. Stating that, we know that even though there's no Nevuah, it's Ruach HaKodesh, right? A lot of tzaddikim had Ruach HaKodesh. The Ravid, famously in a few places in Hilchos Lulavs, talks about the Ruach HaKodesh that was Mefia in his base medrash, right? The Ravid's arguing with the Rambam and he says, I'm right and I know the Rambam's wrong because we have Ruach HaKodesh. That's what the Ravid says. So did he mean it literally? But the Chassam Sofer and the Yerchaim Reish Ches and his Tshuvater of Tzviya Shchaya says, he just meant, like Ben Azai said, Soyed Hashem Liyureyo, in that name, that's what he was reading. He didn't mean real Ruach HaKodesh. But he said Ruach HaKodesh. Baskel's also a Madrig. The Rishonim say Baskel works with Nevuah. So if someone's completely not tapped in, they could be Baskels b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. You're not going to hear it. Because in order to tap into a Baskel, you have to be on a Madrig of Nevuah. We know that the Chachamim, the Tanam heard Baskels. Right? Elisha Baravua, Shuvu Banim Shoivavim, Chutz Miyacher. That's a Baskel that Elisha Baravua heard, right? So we know there was Baskel even after the beginning of Bayesh, and this is 500 years later. So you see this Baskel, there's still Ruach HaKodesh. I thought there's no Nevuah. What does that mean? But I think the Torah says Poshet and Gevaldik. And that is, the Gemara says that when they caught this lion, one here got away. There was one hear of the lion that got away. The Sfarim HaKadoshim say that the Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that Allah Sadovi, they're going to shech the Yetzirah. So when Mashiach's going to come, one of the things that are going to happen, they're going to slaughter the Yetzirah. And Tzadikim Nidma Lahem Tehar. The Rishoim is Nidma Lahem Kichut HaSayra. Say the Sfarim HaKadoshim. What does it mean, Kichut HaSayra? It's that Sayra. It was that one Sire that got away. That one strand of hair that's the troublemaker. That's what the Rishonim are going to say. It's all from that one hair. It's amazing. You can imagine what the Yetzirah of the Avodah Zarah was, is if today's Yetzirah is that one Sire. But the point is, one hair did get away. And because that one hair got away, it's for that reason there's one strand of Yetzirah of the Avodah Zarah that we still have in the world. If that's the case, the Vilna Gaon's Cheshbin, there has to be a little bit of Nevuah as well. Because it's Zelu Mazeh. They were Mevatel the Yetzar, the Avodah Zarah, that's why there's no Nevi'im anymore. There used to be Nevi'im Keflayim Ki'etz Mitzrayim. Probably Le'umas, all the Avodah Zarah. But then they were Mevatel the Yetzar, the Avodah Zarah. So you don't have all this Nevuah anymore. You don't have this Shefa of Nevuah. But at the same time, one here got away. And because that one here got away, Zelu Mazeh, you have to have one here, a Chut HaSayra of Nevuah. And the Chut HaSayra of Nevuah, the Tzadikim that had Ruach HaKodesh, and the Yechidim that were able to hear the Baskel, as in Brachas Taf Gimel, and all the different Gemaras that talk about different Baskels that people were able to hear. It's all part of the Zelu Mazeh. The point is, you're right, we live in a world where we don't have Nevuah. We live in a world where there's no Yesar Davei Dezara, but it's an oversimplification of it. Because if you're Ma'ayin in the Svarim HaKadoshim, there is a little bit of Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. And that's why there is some Avodah Zarah in the world today. But Lu'um Mazef, there's a little bit of Avodah Zarah in the world today, which there clearly is. There has to be a little bit of Nevuah in the world as well. That means there's potential for a person to fall all the way to the bottom, but at the same time, there's potential for a person to rise literally all the way to the top. The same balance that once existed is still something that's here today, albeit on a much smaller scale. That's the first aura. The second aura is, so last week we spoke about Rebbe Eliezer, as in Rebbe Eliezer HaGadol. We did Rebbe Eliezer part one and Rebbe Eliezer part two. So just to be Messiah, Mesechtes Eirichin, with Rebbe Eliezer part three. And that is, the Mishnah said, on Daf Chav Chesam Anau, so this was Sunday's Daf, we're coming full circle here. The Mishnah said that even though there's Halach of Cheirim, which is a type of Hekdesh, but at the same time, Rebbe Eliezer says, a person is not allowed to be Machrim all his Nechassim. You can't take all your Nechassim. You're not allowed to be, actually I have it right here, sorry. You're not allowed to be machrim all your nechassim. So you could be machrim, behentai, and from your fields, some of your nechassim. But if you want to be machrim all your nechassim, you can. So much so, Rebbe Eliezer says, the imhichrim es kulam, ena muchram. If you do, the cherim is not going to be chal. This is Gemara Masechtes Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We spoke about this in the end of Masechtes Bechayrus, but Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush. Tanu Rabbanan, Hadon Chaber L'Kav Schus, Donin Oysoi L'Schus. If someone is Danis Chaver L'Kavzchos, Dara Noisa L'Kavzchos, and the Gemara is going to go now for an Amid of Gemara. This is Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin, and the day is tucked away. You have a whole Pirkei Yovers shir, so to speak, of that concept of being Danis Chaver L'Kavzchos. Says the Gemara story. There was a Yid who lived in the Galila Elyon, V'niskar Eitzav Alabayis Echav Adarim Sholishon, and he worked for somebody else for 3 years. It was Erev Yom Kippur. And this employee goes to his boss and he tells him, "Tain li schari ve'elich vazen es ishti ubana. I want to go home. I worked for 3 years. I haven't gotten paid. I need money. I want to go back to my family. It's Yom Tif now. It's Erev Yom Kippur. I'm going to spend Yom Kippur and Sukkot together with my family." Amalei, he told him, "Ain li mois." He says, "You know, I'd love to pay you. And I know I owe you a lot of money. But Kedushin daf beis, kesef minolan." Amalei, he told him, "Tain li peiros." "Okay, can I have peiros?" Amalei, "Ain li." "Tain li karka." He says, "Give me karka." "Ain li." "Tain li behema." "I'll come home with some donkeys. We'll figure it out. We'll give us a chanetza." He said, "Ain li." "Tain li karim vekasta." "You have pillows and blankets?" "Ain li." So he says, "Okay, you don't have, you don't have." Hifshel kelev lachayra v'halach lebeis v'pachay nefesh. He went home to his family. L'achar regal. He spent yontif with his family. Not the balabayis schari biyodi. The balabayis took all the money that he owed this yid, and he loaded three donkeys with food and all these wonderful things, and he came to his employee. They sit down. First, they eat a little bit, and he tells him, "I came to pay you." He says, "Thank you very much." And he says, "By the way, I want to ask you a question. When I told you that I had no money, what went through your mind?" So he said, "Well, when you told me I had no money, I assumed that, you know, maybe you're just not liquid now. Maybe you have it tied up in an investment, so you have no money." He says, "Okay, but then you asked me for a behemoth. I don't have my behemoths tied up in an investment. I said I have no behemoths. What did you think then?" "So I thought that, you know, maybe you leased it out to somebody, so they're not, even though they're technically yours, but you can't give them to me right now. But then I said, I don't even have karka. What did you think then?" "I thought maybe you leased out your karka as well." "Then I said, I don't have peiros. So I thought maybe you didn't give meiser yet from the peiros there. Tevel, you didn't want to give me peiros. But then I said, you don't even, when I told you I don't even have pillows and blankets, what were you thinking then?" He says, "I'll tell you the truth. You know what I thought? Shem mehiktish kol nechasa l'shamayim. I assumed that maybe you makdish everything. And if you makdish, you feel like you have it, but it's not really yours." Amalei. So the employer tells his employee, "You're right. Ha'avoyda kachoya. He darti kol nichsei. I made all my nechassim hektish b'shvil horkenes b'ni because of my son horkenes. Shalei yazik b'atayra because he wasn't learning tayra. Ukishabasi etzel chaveri b'darim. When I came to my friends in the darim, he tirulu kol nidre. They were matim me my neder. And because they were matim my neder, now I can pay you." And then he told him, "V'ato kishem shedantani l'schus hamakim yodin oischol l'schus." And then he gave his worker a bracha, and he told him, "You would dan me l'kavzchus. My bracha is the Eivishin should be dan you l'kavzchus as well." Either way, a fascinating story about a yid who works for somebody for 3 years, doesn't get paid, and he gets sold a story at first glance, and he's okay with it. He was dan l'kavzchus. Bottom line is, says the Chasam Sofer, that he saw in the tshuva from the Ramah Mipano, that the Ramah Mipano gave names to the personalities in this story right here. He says, "You know what the Balabayas was? It was none other than the great Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer ben Hyrcanus." And he says, "You know what the Payo was? It was none other than the great Rebbe Akiva." Now Rebbe Akiva was working on a field for 3 years. He says, "Yeah, it was before Rebbe Akiva became the great Rebbe Akiva." But the point is, this was Rebbe Akiva. And the Ramah Mipano said that you see from here, that even before Rebbe Akiva became Rebbe Akiva, he was such a Balmidos. You see that he was dan his Balabayas l'kavzchus in an unbelievable way. Says the Chasam Sofer, you know, it's interesting. I find that as a chiddush. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Pesachim, Rabbi Akiva said, "Kishayisi ha'ma'aretz amarti." I used to say, "Miyitin li ha'ma'aretz v'anashchenu kechamar." He said, if I would find that I'm an aretz, I would rip him up like a donkey. Kechamar, like a kelev kechamar. So he said that it seemed to suggest Rabbi Akiva, before he learned Torah, wasn't a Balmidas. Says the Chasam Sofer, you see from there, he was a Balmidas. But even though he was a Balmidas, and he was willing to be dan as chavera, his boss that he worked for without getting paid for 3 years of kavzchos, but a Talmud Chacham, an Ashkenu Kechamar. And he says, you see the finest, biggest Balmidas in the world. But when it comes to a Talmud Chacham and a Ma'aretz, sometimes that's sinner for a Talmud Chacham. And it doesn't matter what a fine gentleman the person may be outside of that world. But when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, this is scary. An Ashkenu Kechamar. But then the Chasam Sofer continues. And he says that, I have a kasha on this Gemara. You know what his kasha is? If the employer was Rabbi Eliezer, right? Ramah Mipano had a whole shtickle Torah on the employee beating Rabbi Akiva. But if the employer was Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer said he was machrim all his nechassim. L'chura, how does it stim with the Mishnah and Erech and Daf Chav Chesam and Aleph? Rabbi Eliezer is the one that said, you're not allowed to be machrim all your nechassim. And if you do, ain't a mechramim. So Rabbi Eliezer said, I was machrim all my nechassim. I couldn't pay you, Rabbi Akiva. What do you mean? Rabbi Eliezer, l'shitase holds that you're not allowed to be machrim all your nechassim.
Now, the truth is, the Mishnah Erechin Chav Chesed now is talking about Cherim. Who said it was Cherim? See, you see, clearly the Chassam Sofer assumed the Hanacha that there's no difference between Cherim and Hakdash. But as I afraid the Chassam Sofer, Ephraim Rudolph was Moisef to the Chassam Sofer's Kasha. He said, I'll ask you another Kasha. We learned last week in the Daf, the Rebbe Eliezer holds like, that Rebbe Eliezer holds like Beis Shammai, which in the Sugya of Hekdash Tos, who holds Hekdash Tos, Havi Hekdash, he can't be Matar Hekdash. What happened? What was the story? So Rabbi Eliezer says that he was makdish olz nechasim, and he went kushabasi etzel chaveri bedarim hitiru lekol nidre. What do you mean? He can't be matanedar. So lechur, what's going on over here? Lechur, you have over here Rabbi Eliezer l'shitasa it's the chasam soifers kasha ayin shom and the chdushi chasam soifer masech the Shabbos daf kuf chav zayin abed beis. But here's the aim base medrash b'loy chiddush, and that is. So we all know the beginning of Rabbi Akiva's story. Right, Rabbi Akiva in this story is working for somebody for 3 years. Okay, he's a big Baal Midos. He's not as Chaveri L'chav Schos, even though he said, An Ashchenu Kechamor, with regards to a Talmud Chacham, beautiful Chassam Sofer, V'ru'uyin Hadvarim L'misha. But everybody knows the basic story of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old, and he didn't even know the Aleph Beis. He had a wife that pushed him and inspired him, and so much so that Rabbi Akiva comes back after he becomes the great Rabbi Akiva, and his wife is trying to get involved in the mix, and everyone's pushing her away. Turns to the Kabbayim, you're pushing her away, you realize everything that I did is her. Which, if you think about it, by the way, is unbelievable. Why? Because the whole Teresh Baal Pes Rabbi Akiva, Stam Mishnah Ram Meir Alibid Rabbi Akiva, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda Alibid Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Alibid Rabbi Akiva, V'kulam Alibid Rabbi Akiva, the whole Mesiris HaTorah that we have, everything is Alibid Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's five Talmidim is ever. We're not here today if not Rabbi Akiva's five Talmidim. Everything is Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva said, my whole existence is my wife. Which means the whole Messiah Satira is Eshes Rabbi Akiva. It's unbelievable, right? That's just due to math. So Rabbi Akiva says, everything that I have is my wife. And everything we have is Rabbi Akiva. So, this is Shibud de Rav Nosson. Everything that we have is Ishtosh Rabbi Akiva. Rachel Eshes Rabbi Akiva. The daughter of Nakdim and Ben-Gurion. What a role she plays in the Messiah Satira. This is the ultimate Eza connector. The entire Messiah Satira comes down to Ishtosh Rabbi Akiva. Either way, so Rabbi Akiva didn't learn Torah until he was 40 years old. And there's an Avos D'Rav Nosson in the beginning of the sixth parak of Avos D'Rav Nosson that tells a story that everybody knows. Rabbi Akiva was a shepherd and he saw a well and there was a little hole in the well. Literally, the cement in the well, the brick, had a hole in it. He said, where did this hole come from? So he asked the Chevra. So they told him, there was a little leak and water was dripping and dripping and dripping and it eventually penetrated the... So he said, that's unbelievable. He said, water can penetrate a wall and it can make a hole. He said, if that's the case, somebody like myself can certainly be penetrated by the Torah. The Torah is fire. He made a Kavach Haimer. He said, if water could penetrate this brick, there's no question Torah can penetrate my neshama. And that somehow played a role in motivating Rabbi Akiva to go ahead and learn Torah. I'm going to tell you a Dovin Naira that I heard and then saw inside from the Radah. The Radal is Rav David Luria. We speak out a lot from the Radal and the Daf. He wrote a pirish on Pirkei de Rav Eliezer. Pirkei de Rav Eliezer begins with the story about Rav Eliezer. Listen to this. Maisa b'Rav Eliezer ben Hurkinus. Shayu la'aviv Charshan. His father was a very wealthy man, as we're going to see. And he had people working for him. People that used to work the field. All the people, all his plowers, so they got fertile land to plow. And Rav Eliezer, for whatever reason, he got Charshan. This rocky terrain, it was very, very hard for him to be able to plow there. Yashav loy b'hayu b'aycha, and he sat down, and he was crying. Amalei aviv, nebneachav b'aycha, his father comes to him, and he says, Eliezer, he says, why are you crying? Shemim mitztai ratash atacharish betroshim? Is it because you got troshim? Is that because that's what fell into your lot? Is that the reason? Achshav atacharish agabi mana. If you want, I can move you all, shift you over to the other side of the field. It'll be fine. Yashav loy agabi mana. So he moved him over, but he was still crying. So his father came to him again. He said, Mibnei mato boicha. Shemim mitztai ratash atacharish agabi mana. He says, no, he says, you have it all wrong. He said, he said, why are you crying? Amaloy shani mevakish lomoy Torah. He said, I want to learn Torah. Amaloy. This is what his father tells him. He tells Alei Ben Esher Mishmayna Shanamad. You're 28 years old. You've never learned a word. And then you want to suddenly go learn Torah. He says, don't listen to me. You should get married and have children. And you know what? Maybe raise them from a younger age to go on this path. And you'll support them and sit and learn. But where do you come? You're 28 years old. You haven't learned anything. How are you going to suddenly learn Torah? So the Gemara says Rabbi Eliezer was very upset. He couldn't come to himself. He was still crying. And he went and he started fasting. He didn't want to eat. He was. This was like some sort of protest. Until Yoram was megal himself to him. But Amalei, he didn't know, was like, yo, Anavi. And he tells him, Ben Hurkinis, this Yid comes to him and he tells him, why are you crying? Amalei tells him, so he told him, you want to learn Torah? He says, who's stopping you? He says, just go, leave. Just go. Go to Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh, learn Torah. So Rabbi Eliezer took this man's advice. And he goes to Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh. He walks in, and it was obvious that he didn't know anything. And Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh learns to him, and he tells him, he says, do you know how to say Kriya Shema? He told him, no. Do you know how to daven? He said, no. Do you know how to bench? So apparently this was the big three. Kriya Shema, Tefillah, and Birkas HaMazon. He said, no. I'm going to laugh. So he said, Om Aloy. So this is Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh tells him. This is the biggest Rosh Hashiva in Klal Yisrael. So what does Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh tell him? Amoid v'alametcha shloshtam. He says, let's start there. Let me teach you how to say Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I'm going to teach you Birkas HaMazon. I'm going to teach you how to say Shmoneh Esrei. Yoshev, he said, Vayobaycha. He said, why are you crying? He said, because I don't want to stop here. I don't want to take it to the end. The bottom line is, just to fast forward. So Rabbi Eliezer ends up learning Torah, and he ends up becoming one of Rabbi Yechonam and Zakkai's prize Talmidim. Sometime later, Rabbi Eliezer's father, Hurkinus, came to Yerushalayim. He goes to Rabbi Yechonam and Zakkai, and he comes in, and he participates in the shir, and he hears somebody learning Torah. And this person who's saying Torah, he's saying Torah that he was blown away. He said, who is this? He said, you know who this is your son. This is Rabbi Eliezer. This is who he became. The great Rabbi Eliezer. And then the Rabbi Eliezer digresses, and you have perek after perek after perek of all the Torah that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said. So you want to know the beginning of Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol's story? He starts as a farmer working on a field. He somehow drew the odd lot. So he's the one who's working on the trushim when everybody else is on the manna. His father doesn't believe in him. His father, you're 28 years old. He says, you want Torah? Have a family and send your son to yeshiva. You'll have Torah. But Rabbi Eliezer doesn't listen. He persists. He goes there to Yisrael. He goes to Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh. Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh teaches him how to bench, how to say Kriya Shema, and how to say Shmoneh Esrei. But then eventually he becomes the great Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. How great was Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol? He was Shokul Kenegim, you, Kol Chachmi Yisrael, on one side of the scale. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Hurkinis is Machriyas Kulon. He's Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. It's the only one that's called Gadol. He's Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, because he was great in an absolute sense. He was the greatest Tana of his generation. He was Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh's prize Talmud. He's Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. He's the great Rabbi Eliezer. And how did he start? He started as a farmer. But says the Radal, I think there's another hidden message over here. You know what the hidden message is? It started not just as a farmer. The Pirkei Avos gives us a lot of information. And every word the Chazal were megalut us, there's hidden messages and secrets over here. He was a farmer that was plowing the field, but he was being chayresh petroshen. What's the significance of that? He says, you know, I think the significance is, read it again. Ma'isav Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkinis, shayu la'aviv charshin. Vayir charshin al gabi hamano. They had fertile land. Vahu hayu chayresh petroshin. He had land that there was no way to plow through. Yashavay, he sat down, vahu yabaycha, and he started crying. Why was he crying? He said, because I want to learn Torah. He said, I think that Rabbi Eliezer realized that he would be able to learn Torah in a very similar way that Rabbi Akiva realized that he would be able to learn Torah. Rabbi Akiva saw a hole in the wall, proverbially. And he realized the water was able to penetrate this rock. So L'chur, the Torah, be able to penetrate me as well. Rabbi Eliezer thought he couldn't learn his father. Nobody believed in Rabbi Eliezer, it's clear. He didn't think he can learn Torah either. But then he was Chayrish Petrashim. And you know what happened? At some point he started seeing success. And he was able to take his plow and plow through all the rock. And he was able to start seeing naches from what he was doing. And you know what he realized? He made the same kavah chomer Rabbi Akiva made. He said, Madach, the water can penetrate the rock, the Torah could certainly penetrate me. That's what Rabbi Eliezer said. He said, if the chayresh, the plow, can penetrate the troshim, the Torah will be able to penetrate me as well. And that's the hakdama, that he was chayresh betroshim, yashav ayyaboycha, because there was something that happened when he was chayresh betroshim that gave him this paradigm shift. He started seeing himself differently. And he started realizing that I have much more potential than people think I have. And he started believing in himself when no one else believed in him. And the bottom line, that's when he became the great Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, whose lives intertwine in so many different ways. The Rabbi Akiva's Rabbi Eliezer's prize Talmud. You have this Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, where Rabbi Akiva's working for Rabbi Eliezer. This fascinating story about Bidanas Chaver Lekav Schos. Their beginnings both started very humbly. But not just that, they were inspired in a very similar way as well. Rabbi Akiva was inspired by the water. And Rabbi Eliezer was inspired. He was inspired by the plow. I heard from Ramati Berkowitz, who said over that. He heard from Rabbi Shmuley Hirth, who said that maybe there's another message over here. And that is, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer were both inspired, says the Radal, in a similar way. Similar but different. And there's a subtlety. Rabbi Akiva was inspired by the water. How did the water penetrate the rock? Drop after drop after drop. It was consistency. That's what it was. It was just another drop after another. It may have taken years. But eventually, it was able to penetrate. Rabbi Akiva's, Rabbi Eliezer's Sayyidus came from a different place. He was Chayrish. He was Chayrish Petrashim. He took the plow and boom, he was able to barrel through it. The point is that sometimes people find things obstructing in their way. And there's really two ways to overcome the obstruction. There's consistency, a drop of water every single day. And then one day you look back and you realize, wow, I can't believe it. I'm making a siman erchin. I'm making a siman shas. But it's drip after drip after drip. It's something that happens with time. But there's another way that it can happen. And that is you can be chayrish. You can wake up one morning like Rabbeinu Yoina says, and as you say that shuvah, and today's the first day of the rest of my life, and I'm going to be chayrish, and I'm going to change exactly who I am. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, their fates are so intertwined. And they're both the greatest, maybe, tanon that we have in our history. Rabbi Eliezer on the one hand, even though ain halacha kamoisa, Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, and Rabbi Akiva, kulam alibid Rabbi Akiva, they both start from very humble places, and they also both realize, somehow through this mushel, in Rabbi Akiva's case, he was a shepherd. In Rabbi Eliezer's case, he was a farmer. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Akiva the shepherd and Rabbi Eliezer the farmer, they both became great. And I was thinking, you know, the Svarim HaKadoshim talk about, Im Bein David Ba El Mitoch Hesed Chadas. What does that mean? So Pashut, it means, you know, you're not going to expect it. It's going to be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, in the middle of the summer. This beautiful, all of a sudden Mashiach is going to come. You're going to hear Shaifras. But the Svarim HaKadoshim say there's a much deeper meaning in Im Bein David Ba El Mitoch Hesed Chadas. And that is, we know that Malchus Beis David came from Yehuda and Tamar. Tamar was Yehuda's daughter-in-law. And it was through that zivug that Malchus Beis David came. And we know that it further came from Bayez and Rus, which was also somewhat questionable. Wasn't, but there was a mishpach over there. And it's so interesting that Mashiach, Malchus Beis David, all comes. And the reason is, yeah, it comes with Chesed Chadas because it comes from the least expected places. Like, who would think that from Yehud and Tamar, Mashiach would come? You would think Mashiach would come from the shenste yichus in the world. It's not the way it was. It was from Yehud and Tamar. It was from something very, very questionable. And the same is true from, as it relates to Bayis. This is something that you find over and over and over again. Right, Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu didn't start learning Torah until he was 40 either. Right, Rabbi Akiva didn't learn Torah until he was 40. Avram Avinu. The Rambam says Avraham Avinu was 40 years old when he was Makir as Bayra. Avraham Avinu's father was Terach. He also started from a very humble beginning. The Dar Deya, right? The Dar that left Mitzrayim. The Dar that was Mekabel v'Torah. This was a Dar that was Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Right? Think about it. Look at the before and after picture. They're Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and then 50 days later, they're being Mekabel v'Torah. Who would have ever thunk it? These were not children that were groomed from a very young age, like Rabbi Eliezer's father suggested. Have a family. Groom your children to be Gedolei Adar, and then you'll be the father of Gedolei Adar. No, that's not what happened. These were Ovdei Avodah Zarah that somehow became the Dar Deya. That's what Rabbi Eliezer was. Rabbi Eliezer was a chayr, he was a farmer until he was 28. Didn't know. Imagine, he goes to Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh, and Rabbi Yechim believed in him. He took the time to teach Rabbi Eliezer. It's amazing. I mean, the more you think about it, the more incredible it is. But that's our history. Our history is that Mashiach is going to come. Mashiach was not born from the Shenste Zivug. It came from questionable beginnings. And the message for sure is that people sometimes think, you know, who am I? Okay, maybe my children, my Einikloch. But the emphasis is that it's not that way. If Rabbi Akiva became Rabbi Akiva at a very late stage in life, he's already 40 years old without knowing anything. The great Rabbi Eliezer, the Dar Deya became the Dar Deya, even though they were over the Avodah Zarah. Chazal are telling us a message. The message is, it doesn't matter how you spent your life, every person has a switch that he can flip. And by flipping that switch, you can be zoicha not only to tap in and to be toyim a little bit, but a person, you could become the greatest of the great. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Avraham Avinu, the Dar Deya. On that note, Hadron Allah, Mesechtes Erechin, Zun Tzveitimol.